Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Have a seat, and I am going to bring somebody up here in just a second that is very special to me. First of all, there are lots of families away. That is obvious today. So I want you to call, look to your right and to your left, and I want you to call everybody that you know that would normally sit to your right and left, and I want you to tell them that today we gave $100 to every family that attended church. Okay, just kind of put the word out there that you don't want to miss, you know, that kind of a, all at once. It was just a great surprise that we gave to you today. God is faithful, isn't he? When I was 12 years old, it was the first time I remember seeing Jerry Harris. Back at Berea Temple, Assembly of God down in the city. Is it on Compton and Russell? Something like that. And this is the first time I remembered seeing Jerry. And that's the first shared event that day. The Bethelaires, my dad was playing with the Bethelaires that day at Berea. And Jerry and Lisa were at that church. I believe you guys were there, newly married at that time. And so that's the first encounter that I had with Jerry. Then through the years, when I sang with the Bethelaires, Jerry and Lisa were pastoring Steelville Assembly of God Church. And they were there how many years? 9 years. And during those, there was an amazing growth that took place at Steelville. And we had the privilege, the Bethelaires had the privilege of coming in, and for several years we sang at that church and ministered at that church, had a great relationship with Jerry. Always looked forward to that. That was one of our premier locations. We loved being at Steelville, because there was some real movement of what God was doing throughout that city, that town. And then years later, Jerry was actually the individual when Gina and I were church planning or praying about church planning in the year 1999. And I received permission from my then pastor, Roger Horn, to just begin to seek out what God's plan was for Gina and I and for our family. We were still at First Assembly of God there in St. Charles. And Jerry was the director of church planting throughout the Southern Missouri District. I don't remember what the title was, but he was the man to see. And so I called Jerry, and I met with Jerry at a breakfast. I think it was a Bad Denny's down in South County somewhere. And it was Denny's, you notice as I say. But it was, we sat and we talked, and he heard my heart about church planting. And we talked about it, and we dreamed about it, and we prayed about it, and asked God for direction. And God opened up, because Gina made the statement, it will take a miracle for us to stay in St. Charles after 18 years at St. Charles First Assembly. And the miracle came. God gave us the miracle of St. Charles River Church. On July 26th of 2000, I got the phone call from our district superintendent, then Ron Garner, out of then Excelsior Springs, Missouri. And we were launched. And right behind me, and then I got mad about this. I got mad about this. Because right after I left St. Charles First Assembly of God, in comes Jerry Harris and Lisa to pastor First Assembly of God in St. Charles. And I've long told him, I would love to have hung out with you for a few years and learned a few things, because I didn't know anything when we started St. Charles River Church. I knew nothing. I still don't know anything. I can tell you how not to church plant. But Jerry and I have long shared a vision and a dream of church planting, a passion for church planting. This church has given birth to three and now two totally successful churches that were birthed out of St. Charles River Church over 17 years. And we were blessed to be able to do that. Jerry is now back in the role of, it's called Reach. I'm going to let him explain to you what he's doing. But Jerry is overseeing church planting again in the state of Missouri. And I am excited to have, first of all, Jerry and Lisa both here with us today, but to also put Jerry on this platform, because we've shared a lot. Our paths have crossed an awful lot through the years, at least since I was 12 years of age. But I got to tell you, my hope is that after Jerry shares with you his heart, that we will become a long-term partner with this ministry, because I am about, and Gina and I are passionate about, church planting. You'll never find anybody more passionate about that. And I'm asking you to hear his heart, hear what God is doing and the opportunities that will come. And this won't be the first Sunday you ever see Jerry and Lisa Harris. They're going to be returning, and we're going to hear what God is doing in church planting, because we are about the harvest. Would you welcome Pastor Jerry Harris to the platform? Hey, buddy. Love you.
Thank you, Pastor Barry. It's an honor for Lisa and I to join you this morning. Actually, Barry was 12. I was 14. And Lisa and I just got married. And she still looks like she's maybe 16 or 17, but I've sort of aged throughout the years, but hopefully not too badly. But God has been good to us. And I just want to say something to you before I get into what I want to talk about. We came and the lobby was full. I know there's another church meets before you. I want to encourage you. This building, and I know Pastor Barry has told you this, but let you hear it with fresh ears from an outsider. I believe that anything you do outside the building, God will bring it back to you 100 and 1,000-fold. What I mean by that is, if you're reaching and allowing the building to be used to facilitate ministry, God will bless and honor you in ways you never imagined. It may not be financially only, but it could be spiritually, emotionally, relationally, your marriages. Everything about the church is intertwined with what he wants us to become. And the more we give out of who we are, God returns it in blessings in ways we never could imagine. Never could imagine. So just hold that thought for just a moment. Thank you. Welcome. I'm up there already. All right, good. We'd have a PowerPoint, which I'm thankful we got that going, but, you know, we could do without it as well. I want to take about 10 minutes to talk about why plant churches, and the reason Lisa and I are doing what we're doing now. We were in St. Charles First for 12, 13 years, and God, just unbelievably blessed us there and the community and the church. But when this call came, this is who we are. This is where we've been for 20 some years as church planters in the city of St. Louis. And I felt in the last years of my life, not that the local church isn't important, and God could do amazing things to the local church. The opportunity came for us to have a greater influence than I think I could ever have the last days of my life. I'll never retire, because I believe that God is allowing us to influence men and women, pastor them, consult with them, to reach more people before Jesus comes back than we could ever, ever imagine. Why plant churches? What is the reason? This is a church plan, as Pastor Barry just shared with you, and you know that. But why plant churches? I'd like for you to stand with me real quickly and turn to Genesis 1 verse 11. We're gonna stand in honor of God's word, but we're gonna kick this thing off with this thought from the very beginning of what Moses wrote in the Pentateuch, Genesis chapter 1 verse 11. And you can read it with me if you will. Mine's the NLT. It says, "The seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." Let's say it together. "The trees will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came." Father, nothing can be said that is important or even worth saying without you anointing and speaking through us and to us. I ask for everyone in this room, their hearts and ears to be open, to receive what you want to say, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The words that I want to key up on for just a moment is "from which they came." All plants and trees reproduce successfully because God has created within them the DNA to ensure proper growth and reproduction of their particular kind of fruit. This DNA also ensures successful reproduction of that same plant or tree. Now, it's obvious from nature his plan works. This plan for plants and trees is the same for you. It's the same for the church. It's the same for humanity. Jesus said in John 15, 16, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last." Not just a fruit for a moment during harvest time, but a reproduction DNA that's going to not only produce fruit today, but it'll produce tomorrow, the next day, the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And again, Jesus talks about producing fruit that will last. And he even goes to the extreme and says, if you and I are not producing fruit, he will cut off that spiritual piece of you that you so long for and you need to fulfill your purpose. Do you understand that? If I am not reproducing personally in this DNA, which will translate into corporately, what God does, he says, okay, until you begin to produce, I'm cutting that piece off of you. Because you're not actually doing what I've created you to do. And what happens is the purpose and the reason for being on the planet, when God cuts that piece off of us, all of a sudden now we begin to wonder as individuals, as families, and even as a church, we start to figure out, well, who am I? What am I doing? Because we're not really doing what God created us to do and not becoming what God created us to become. So when you look at this and you think about this, we must ask the question, what am I producing in my spiritual being and what am I reproducing? In other words, what is happening because of my existence on the planet? And in the context of the local church, the Bible is clear that we're to reproduce committed men and women who serve God. Is that not correct? Me personally, I don't want to be called pastor or preacher or evangelist or missionary or whatever. I don't want to do that because the first calling I have is to be a Christian who is being reproduced in other people. In other words, my influence is influencing them to know the God that I know. And if my life isn't doing that, then I'm not really reproducing anything. I'm just living to make a check, pay the bills, and retire. Breathe God's air, walk on His green grass, drive His car, live in His house, and die. And die. And unfortunately, that's what happens. In the context of the local church, the Bible is clear we're to reproduce men and women who serve God. Now, you can be a soul winner, and that's your calling and giftedness. You're going to be an evangelist, as Ephesians says, and you can do this and do this and do this, but it's not a matter of what you do. It's a matter of influence in a person's life that intrigues them to want to know what you've got. So the question, what do you have that anybody would want? It's a very intriguing question. What about the church at large? If we are individuals, as individuals are to produce lasting fruit, then shouldn't the church reproduce lasting fruit as well? Of course. The church should reproduce itself to ensure proper growth and production of more Christians. That's the fruit. An apple tree produces apples, but the seed of the apple produces what? More apples. Seeds. Hang with me now a moment. Literally, hang with me a moment. Apple trees, what? Produce apples. If that was the only tree and you took all the apples off that tree and there wasn't seeds that reproduced itself, you would have no more apples. Or oranges or anything. That's God's plan. The same will produce its kind. Okay, the apple tree reproduces what? Apple trees, not apples. It produces apples, but reproduction is apple trees. That's the DNA. That's the DNA. You and I are to reproduce Christians. My life is to be overflow to attract them to God so they become a follower of Christ. And when we get them together, two or three gather together, then we call that group a church. Yeah. We start having nursery, we start having youth, we start having this, all this other stuff we call church. But it only happens because reproducing. Well, the church comes together and God says, I want you to reproduce yourself as a corporate body of people. An apple comes from the apple tree. Apples do not produce apples. The seed of the apple produces apple trees, reproduces them, which we call apples. Christians should reproduce themselves. Jesus said it, go and make disciples. disciples of Christ come together to form the body of Christ that we call the church. We call the church. The continuing reproduction of ourselves, the church, is the single most critical strategy to reach people and grow the body of Christ. It isn't to grow a megachurch. If that's what God ordains and his sovereign will, then wonderful. But God's sovereign will isn't to grow a megachurch. God's sovereign will is for the church to reproduce itself throughout the year, 10 years, and centuries later when you and I are dead and gone. The church is flourishing and growing multiple places, multiple sites, because that's who we are. Someone say amen. Or oh no, or whatever you want to say here. I don't know what you say at River Church. Now, but for some reason, we've convinced ourselves that we have plenty of churches. We have plenty of churches and lots of room for all the people who live in our community. Let them go to that church and start new ones. I like my Wendy's church. I like my McDonald's church. I like my Arby's church. I like my Jack in the Box church. It's amazing they're all in the same corner, but we have preferences, don't we? Go to the one you want to go to. There's plenty of churches. Why even think about starting a new one? Or a new church in our community just takes people away from existing churches. I've had friends who they start a church was started. Well, the Crossing started a campus up off Tom Guinevere in North in St. Charles County a few years ago. They took people out of First Assembly while I was there. But you know, I my perspective was they didn't take nothing from us. Because putting one person in one church building and another person in another church building isn't reproduction. Give me a church that reaches people that aren't engaged in a church or a godly relationship. And they didn't take them from me. I gave them to them. Are you with me here? So new churches will take people away. Thirdly, help the churches that are struggling. We have so many struggling churches, and I've been in large ones and small ones the last few years, and man, there's some struggling churches out there of all shapes and sizes. Let's put our money there. Let's do that. And a new church doesn't help the ones we have, and the ones we have just barely keeping their nose above water. Well, we need better churches, no more churches. I agree with that 100%. So what are you going to do about your church? Good, bad, or ugly? So very quickly, before I get into actually explaining, and that's really an interesting graphic up there. I don't think we've seen it quite that way, but hey, it works today. Why plant churches? Quickly, I'm on a time limit here. Number one, write it down. It's a biblical mandate. It's a biblical mandate. Why we reproduce ourselves are explained. It's a biblical mandate. Jesus said in Matthew 29:19-20, many of you probably know this by heart. You've heard it until you're tired of hearing it. But it doesn't make it any less true. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The New Testament church knew what that meant. In Acts 2 and elsewhere, it is clear that baptism means incorporation into a worshiping community and accountability and boundaries. That's what that means. Where does that occur? In a church. Think about this a moment. Much of our traditional evangelism and even years ago revivals were aimed at decisions for Christ. But how many are we actually discipling to be followers of Christ? Jesus never said to plant churches. Nowhere in Scripture do we see that. But he says, make disciples and baptize them and teach them to obey. What does that sound like to you if you do that? A church, a group of people coming together, varieties and preferences, whatever that may be. We just launched a house church in April, a house church. And that's sort of a, not a new thing, but it sort of comes around, goes around. If you live long enough, you see it again, you know. And he said, hey, I want to plant a house church. Okay, let's do that. He planted with 23 people. I met him 2 weeks ago, and he said, Jerry, we had three receive Christ at our dining room table, and one person was filled with the Holy Spirit. At a house church. And these are people who have no a church affiliation. None at all. None at all. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to multiply house churches to 10, 15, 20, or 30, whatever that may be. So preferences, we come together, it's a church. Jesus doesn't say to plant them, but it does say make disciples. The Apostle Paul had a twofold strategy. Very simple. Greatest missionary ever. Greatest church planter ever. He'd go to the largest city, reach people for Christ, and establish a community of believers we call the church. That was simply his strategy. And that's what we try to do. The biblical mandate is still valid. It's not diminished in its urgency, but has increased in its necessity in our world. Not only to have a church presence, but to have a church influence. There's more to it than just saying we planted a church in a house 4 or 5 weeks ago, or we planted a church in South County or the city of St. Louis or St. Charles County. It's not a matter of presence or numbers. It's a matter of influence in the community. Because if we plant a church and they're not influencing the culture, and the culture isn't being changed by the presence of the church, then we've done nothing but began a social organization or a club for people to attend. Our country is filled with churches. Why is church planting so urgently needed today? Well, consider this. For every new church that opens, 4 close. 19.5% decline in the church attendance in the last decade for all churches, not just the AG, Assemblies of God or whatever, all churches. Last year, across the country, 3,500 churches closed. 4,000 were open, a net gain of 500. That's across all record keeping, across all churches in the country. Secondly, 28% of people ages 23 and 37 attend church, as opposed to 43 and 52% of older generations. Think of this, 28% of people of ages between 23 and 37 even attend a church. We call them the millennials. Isn't that interesting? Measure it in your own church. 15,000 people plus per month are converting to Islam. 300 million people in the United States, approximately in the U.S., 65% or 188 million do not have a vital connection to a faith-based organization. Any given community in the United States, and these are statistics, and you can take them or leave them, but I tend to believe them because they're from reputable people who do this type of things. 65% of people in St. Charles County, which is about 360 some odd thousand people at one time, maybe 340, 360, 65% of them do not have a faith-based relationship with the church or God. You do the math. If we were to start 1,000 new churches a year, we would need almost 200,000 new churches in the U.S. to win all those people to Christ. In 1900, the population served by each church was 3,897, 3,897. In 2010 census, that number slipped to one church for every 6,000 people. In other words, the church has been doing this for decades, and the population has been doing this for decades, and the church has lost its influence, and I suggest to you, as intelligent, educated men and women, are we influencing the culture? Has the church lost its influence? Absolutely. You cannot deny it has, in my opinion. 1 out of 100 churches that claim to be evangelical are actually winning non-Christians to Christ. Let me say that again. 1 in 100 churches that claim to be evangelical are actually winning non-Christian to Christ. Most growth recorded is transferred growth. It's a biblical mandate. Secondly, real quick, it's the most effective way to reach people. It is. See, Peter Wagner, one of the nation's leading missiologists, he says, planting new churches is the most effective evangelistic methodology known under heaven. It has proven to be more effective than revivals, crusades, outreach programs, parachurch ministries, and will win more people to Christ than a growing megachurch. One reason why we're doing what we're doing. Church planting isn't being true to the Great Commission, is being true to the Great Commission Jesus commanded us to do. New churches reach new generations, new residents, and new people groups. It's a factual, documented thing. A new church will reach the unchurched if it's done right and they'll reach a new generation, new millennials. They'll reach different ethnic groups, different types of people. A new church, a recent one, traditional church, even this church is Hellbury, 17 years old, will not reach. It's just a factual thing. Dozens of denominational studies confirm that the average new church gains most of its people, 68% from the ranks of people who are not attending any church and have not had a relationship with Christ. Think about that. 60 to 80% of the people a new church will attract are not with Christ. Real quick, I got 8 seconds, right? Or is that 8 minutes? What is that, Barry? Wasn't that Mario Andretti's number? All right, okay, good deal. If we want to reach communities for Christ, we should try to renew older congregations and make them more evangelistic. I did that, and I've been part of that process, not only where I pastor, but also in our district in southern part of Missouri. And believe me, that's like pulling teeth out of a tiger. I'm telling you, it's hard to rejuvenate and revitalize a church that's been on the skids for years. Many times we've had to shut them down and close them and restart a new church. Now, very quickly, what are we doing? If you'll put that PowerPoint on there for me, we'll go through that real quick and I'll be done. Everybody said, awesome. Everybody said, no, you're out of sync here. It's not praise the Lord. It's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. This is what we're doing. We started this 27 years ago called Inner City Ministries of St. Louis. We founded that. That's what we were doing before we went to St. Charles first. We were just missionaries. God has allowed us to use that tool. And now we started Reach Missouri Network, the state of Missouri. It's a 501, separate 501c3. It's not under the AG umbrella. And basically the reason is we have a lot of charitable givers that want to give to an organization that's doing this. And what we do, and what God has allowed us to do, and you'll see the next slide here real quick if you'll pop it up there. We provide a network of leaders, coaches, pastors, and community leaders, equipping them. The next one, please. We assist with marketing, fundraising strategies, office administration, development of church teams and core groups. We advance. We have a collaboration with community and church planters or church leaders that are kingdom initiative. In fact, we have two of those going right now. One is a troubled teen house. We've already bought a building in Wellston for homeless teens. The director is Tim Needham. Advancing, that's part of that. The next C is to, if you'll pop it up there real quick, consulting, providing leadership development, team building, and development of church ministries. That is, we help identify leadership. We build the leadership. We help with all the simulations process. The H is we want a healthy maintenance. We want an assessment train. We want the people to become healthy. And in 3 to 5 years, we want that church, if it's not under parent obligation, we want it to be a sovereign church doing what God's called it to do. And we do all the back office for them, everything you can imagine, from marketing, from database systems to tracking people, leadership development, simulation. How do you do that? How do you identify leaders to raise them up in the church? That's part of the things we do. Let me show you the next slide real quickly. I think should be a picture up there. Yeah, this is a group of planters we met with a few weeks ago. And some of our partners, there's 8 planters there. One is not there because he's at a church in Kentucky. And he did not have his picture made with us because he's going to resign and come to St. Louis and plant a church. There's 8 planters there. We have 3 others that weren't there. 11 planters we work with in the St. Louis area itself. Our goal is to plant 20 churches in St. Louis area in the next 3 to 5 years. Now, we have one that launched April 23rd. I think that's the correct date. We have 4 more launching this September, the Lord willing. And we have 3 already for 2018 coming in. 3. Just the next one real quick. Here's how you can help and be part of relationship opportunities, become a parent real quickly. A parent is a more intimate relationship, connection with a church to either have someone from their church, maybe a staff, maybe a collaborative effort to come together and to become the parent, and that's a more intimate relationship. You become a partner. That's Reach Missouri Network. That's what we started. We raise budgets for planters. We raise a personal budget. Lisa and I made a proposal to our district last year, and there can be no grass growing underneath my feet, I suppose. But I took it on ourselves to raise our budget, and as a U.S. Missions Project. And so that, you can partner with that. This, the third is become a sponsor. You can sponsor a planter. In other words, you can come alongside a planter. In fact, I introduced your pastor to one of our planters, Hervera Hambrick. He's already moved. He's from Kentucky. He's an African-American young man. He and his wife have two children. Just found out she's pregnant with their third. They're going to launch, the Lord willing, September of 2018 in North County or North City. They're still looking. And you met him. If you would choose to sponsor him, and I'm not taking liberties here, but Pastor Barry, you could come and you could meet him and him and his family and love on them and help them and just sponsor them. However you'd want to do that. We have multiple ways for you to become involved in what God's called us to do, and we'd love to partner with you. Pastor Barry, thank you for the time. Hope you didn't get too bored. But anyhow.
Great, man. Thank you. Okay, we are going to, let me just share this with you. We're going to get ready to take an offering, and I really believe we're supposed to partner with Jerry and Lisa, because we are church planters. I want you to know, when we first started St. Charles River Church, there was a line of those who stood opposed to our starting St. Charles River Church in our community. I believed that it was the will of God for us to go forward, and several of the reasons that you gave were given in the meetings that I sat through. You'll take from other churches. One pastor said, you'll take from my church. One pastor said, you'll split First Assembly of God in half at least. And I made all of those covenants with all of the leaders. And by the way, First Assembly stood with me. They absolutely stood with Gina and I. And even through the years with Jerry and Lisa there, they all stood with us in our existence. And we believe what those statistics, I remember those stats. They're worse today than they were 17 years ago. It's more alarming today than 17 years ago. But I remember this, the first 4 years, when we started this church on Anheuser-Busch property, I can take some time now to tell you some stories about starting a church on Anheuser-Busch property, and church people didn't like that it was on Anheuser-Busch property. And I figured, somebody that shows up that's willing to come there, I'm probably reaching the kind of people that I need to reach. We did a tailgate party on this very location for years to reach the harvest, and the Evangel did an entire three-page article on this church, because the first question that came to me from the first reporter doing the interview was, do you allow people to drink? I said, well, there's an ordinance that says they can't have an open container, but I'll know this, if somebody shows up with a six-pack, we're finally reaching people I'd like to reach. I'm not offended by that. I know we're finally reaching people we're supposed to be reaching, and I want to tell you something. There's a lot of you that share that same passion with me and with Gina and our family, with Jerry and Lisa. Church planting is in my blood. I'm going to tell you right now, there are not only past church plants that are raised up from this church, but there are pastors sitting in this congregation today of future church plants that we believe that God is raising you up for that purpose. And I'm a profound believer of that. If God doesn't do anything through St. Charles River Church other than glorify himself through the 20 years that I hope we exist in here in a few short years, if he doesn't do anything other than raise up and be an incubation, a place for pastors and ministers in the area. And that's you, by the way. It's not just position pastors. It's just not you as position ministers, but each one of us to raise us up to the call of God, which is to actually, he said this reason, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the very reason Christ came. And I can remember 17 years ago when we prayed that God would send somebody. We, honest to God, I was standing at that Anheuser-Busch piece of property looking down a lane and praying somebody would show up. But before I did that, we met with people. We held meetings, public meetings at the Holiday Inn at Cave Springs. We didn't invite just church people. We invited people. We wanted to reach people. And I'm going to tell you something. Those were the greatest evangelistic days of this church's existence. Your stats are right on, Jerry. But I'm not giving up on evangelism. I'm not giving up on reaching the harvest here at SCRC. We are moving forward in August. You're going to hear something next week. You got to get excited. You better be ready to hear the challenge, because we're going to be in these neighborhoods in the next several months. And I mean walking these neighborhoods for the next several months. And we're going to do some things we have never done in outreach before. And one of the things I believe we're supposed to be doing is partnering with Jerry and Lisa, because we need to be church planting a church. I got 13 of you. I said, we need to be church planting churches, because that's the call of God. I so agree with the passion that Pastor Jerry has given. And I'm just asking you today, in this offering that we're about to give, come on forward, guys. In this offering we're about to raise, come on forward. I'm asking you to pray about sacrificially partnering with Jerry and Lisa. We're going to support them. We are, as a church, we're going to support them on a monthly basis. I believe that's the will of God, because we're going to be church planting. I do want to meet with the brother that I met with at St. Louis Bread Co. that day with you. I want to meet with him again. I'm telling you this, when I was listening to his heart, I'm sitting there going, God, I want to church plant again. But don't tell Gina. But don't tell Gina. I love the energy. If you've ever been around church planters, am I right? If you've ever been around church planters, I'm telling you, there's something inside them. They're like, oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to get to the harvest. I remember that. And that's the passion that we should have today about the harvest. But I believe that as I sat and listened to his heart that day, he's like, just tell me, man. Just share with me. What do I need to know? Just know that we're going to be alongside of these pastors, these church planters. And I've already spoken to some of you. I've already talked to some of you that I believe God has on my radar screen about future church plants. You are church planters in this church. And today, if you don't remember this service for anything else, it was the seed that was sown into you to reproduce. Now listen, I said it's the seed that was sown in you to reproduce, not just believers, but other believers who reproduce other believers. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we gather today and we celebrate the new seed. We celebrate the new seed. We celebrate, God, the new birth of another church. We see it and we don't even know what the name of it is. But God, there are churches coming. And we know that Jerry and Lisa have their thumb on the pulse of those new churches. God, allow us the miracle of partnership, a committed partnership with the church plants that are going to change the lives of the city of St. Louis and the St. Louis metro area. Our city needs a miracle. Our city needs Jesus. Our city needs new seed that's planted to walk the streets of the city and the county of St. Louis. And our part is right here before us today to partner with them in the name of Jesus Christ. And every believer and future partner said, amen. God bless you as you give. And I just want to share with you something God just gave to me. Would you hand me that piece of paper, those two pieces of paper right there? Thank you, Mary Ellen. I'm going to, before I fill this out as a church, I'm going to have Pam or Cindy run some copies of this partnership pledge card. And I'm asking you to pray about, before you leave today, I'm asking you to fill this out along with us as SCRC. I'm asking you to fill this out and to be a church plant partner yourself and send directly to support Jerry and Lisa's ministry. I'm telling you, I've known these guys all of these years, and I've never believed anyone was more passionate about church planting than Jerry and Lisa. We are here today. Again, remember my story. It's who I went to first. It's who I went to first and sought counsel from. And he offered to church plant us in three different locations in the county of St. Louis immediately that day as we spoke. I'm telling you, if you want to be a partner, a personal partner, not just an all church partner, but a personal partner, I'd love for you to get a copy of this today. Cindy, where are you? There you are. I saw you coming up. You just disappeared below the lights. There you go. Thank you. We're going to have those ready in the foyer. And they will be available at the Welcome Center if you will do that. I appreciate that. Everybody stand with me. Father, this is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice in it. We're glad in it because, God, we see the seed. We believe for the seed that is yet to, we believe for the trees that are yet to come, but we believe now the seed is planted, and we're trusting for you to water that and for you to grow that and for you to nourish that. But God, use us to partner with that church planting of the future of St. Louis. God, I am pumped. I am pumped, God, because I remember, I've experienced it, I've lived it, I've cried through it, I have wept through it, I have prayed through it, I've pleaded with God through it. I remember the passion of church planting, because church planting is people. It's not a building. Church planting is people. And we are determined, Lord, on your behalf, to take people who are destined away from you today. We're determined to snatch them from the jaws of defeat and the jaws of destruction, and bring them back into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. Give the Lord a huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.